Welcome to Primrose Lane Podcast 6, the actual paranormal events that inspired the making of the psychological thriller Primrose Lane. I'm the writer, the filmmaker, Kathleen Davison, and I'm joined by Pamela Beatty. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning, my dear.
So Pamela is serving as our paranormal specialist, and she does a whole lot else. But instead of repeating that, we're going to encourage you to go back and hear the former podcast. If you are just tuning in, stop. Go back to the Primrose Lane movie Facebook page, and if you scroll down in the comments, you will see the link for every podcast, and we're telling a chronological story, so don't spoil it for yourself. Go back now. Now, if you're staying with us, here's where we're picking it up. We were just talking about both of my children seeing and hearing things in the house, and they are 3 years apart. At the age of three, it was like the veil dropped, and they stopped having these experiences or greatly reduced. And the younger one would see things that the older one at that point was no longer seeing. So, for instance, in the last session, I was talking about our daughter seeing a little boy. At the time of that event, my son was saying there's nothing there. But he himself, at the same age, had described seeing what seemed to be the same little boy. So this is part of what made it so fascinating to me as a skeptic who was being slowly converted. This is what made it so interesting to me, that one child was not informing, feeding this to the other, and yet they were describing the same events. Now, when we left off, we were talking about my daughter seeing the dog person, as she called it at the time, and you were likening this to Horace. And at the time, I was just meeting Pamela at this point in the story. And at the time, my son was in the dining room, and my daughter was in the next room over, asleep on my chest. She was sick. I was just waking up, and I heard a noise that I thought woke me. I thought it was that thing when you're coming out of a dream and you can't discern reality from the dream. And it was this crazy sound that sounded, again, not like anything I could liken into our current world. But if I had to try to draw a parallel, it would sound something like a dinosaur roar or growl, like a la Jurassic Park.
Bags packed. I'm out of there.
It jolted me awake. My immediate thought was, again, that this was part of a dream. But my son came tearing into the room, saying, "Mommy, something growled at me." So he heard it, too. And I had just met you, Pamela, at the time. I don't know if you recall. I called you one day, and I said, "I had a crazy experience in the house. Help me understand what happened." And to jog your memory, you explained that it was sort of a hybrid creature, and that there were these hybrid creatures of, you know, various humans and creatures and creatures and creatures. And you explained to me that they have...
You can correct all of this in a second, but you said that they have their own dimension that they go to, that isn't our heaven or hell or wherever we go in our afterlife. Can you explain this?
Well, yes, I can. So the reason they existed, because somebody did experiments on them, right? They became a... It's important to know that the reason these guys were there is someone had been experimenting, and they created hybrids of these things with humans and beings. And because of that, these beings that you got affected by, they don't even go into the afterlife where we're in. It's a whole different dimension that they exist in. They're not there. They don't... You know, there's a hell. Mm-hmm. And they're not even in what most people consider our hell. Mm-hmm. They're certainly not in heaven, so they have their own dimension. They don't go into our afterlife, and they're not even there. On the other side, we hang out with the people that, and things, if you will, that we are on the same vibration that they are. Nothing is on these creatures' vibration, so that's why they have their own place to go. So unlike here, where we run into everybody, the good guys, the bad guys. In the afterlife, you don't have to be around the bad guys if you don't want to at all. It's a whole different dimension. You know, I always say Baptists have their own vibration, their own dimension. Sorry, Father was a Baptist preacher, so I say that. But everything over there, you're not subjected like we are here to everything. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, you're only subjected to those beings that are creatures that are on the same vibration that you are.
Wow. Okay. So what I want to do, I want to share a few of the quick little tidbit experiences that we had and that various visitors to the house had before I dive back into what kind of brings us really full circle when we had these two investigative teams, of which Pamela was part of one, come to investigate the house. So just to give you a sense of some of the other activity in the house, when we had first arrived to the house, and I unpacked my office, I was missing my master hard drive. Now, I'm a Luddite. I'm not a tech girl at all. And I'm horrible about backing stuff up.
Uh-oh.
And I had, you know, my master hard drive that, you know, most certainly wasn't adequately backed up. And when we unpacked, we couldn't find it. And I'm out of my mind. It's got, you know, screenplays from years and years and years. It's got all this stuff on it. And I'm sure that it's some of it's backed up here and there, but it would be such a pain to try to piecemeal it back together. And so I'm giving my husband a hard time because, God bless him, he packed the office for me and moved it for me. But then this thing's missing. I'm thinking, how of all the things, like that one's, you should have clutched it to your breast and carried it, you know, holding it in one hand as you drove here. And we couldn't find it. I mean, and we spent over a course of years, every now and then I'd go nuts over this again, and we would spend entire weekends pulling the house apart. We'd go, because he kept saying, I know I packed it. I know it's here. I know it is. And we would literally go from the attic to the lower level to the garage, open everything, every door, every drawer, every box. We had scoured that house no less than 5 or 6 times over the course of years. And then finally, 1 year, we went away on back east for a while. And when we came back, I pull open my desk drawer, and I had a little secret compartment for it so that if anyone ever broke
in,
there's like a desk tray in front of it. It was like hidden in the back of a drawer. I opened the desk drawer, and what is there but this hard drive? It's been gone for years. Not only is it back, but it's back in the same place I had it in my previous house, which nobody knew except for me and my husband.
That's what you think.
Well, see. Do you have anything you want to share? But I mean, it was unbelievable. It was the biggest gift. And again, my experience with the things in the house, by and large, was positive. The scary stuff largely happened to my husband, some of it to my kids. But I don't think anything screwed with me, to be honest with you. But do you want to share anything about the helpful whatever that, and this is, now what are we talking about? Because you're talking about moving a physical, tangible item of some heft. So
you don't think
they
can do that? You don't think they can do that?
I want not to think that they can, but I can't explain this away. And this is just, again, we heard all the times what would sound like furniture being dragged or boxes being dragged. It would sound like something heavy was being moved upstairs when we were downstairs. And often we couldn't see evidence of what it actually moved. This was an exception. And in really quick, I'll share one more exception of things being physically moved. And I want to say this might have even been, like I said, we had been out of town. We came back and it was there. I think it was during that same trip we had our nanny house sitting and dog sitting for us. And she is a woman of habit. So, and I don't mean a nun. And she would come in and had her whole little routine that she would put the dog food cans to the left of the sink and she'd go through the routine and then put them back in the fridge. You know, she had her whole thing. She said one day she was there and she was feeding the dog and she bends down and she got her whole little setup to the left of the sink. She bends down to put down the dog food dishes. And when she stands up and turns back to the sink, everything is there just as she had it, but it's all moved to the right of the sink. Is she nuts?
No.
We call her the granny nanny. You know, is she losing the marbles or did this actually happen? And what the heck, Pamela?
Well, of course it actually happened. But the ones that put your hard drive back and the ones that moved the dish are two separate entities.
So talk to us.
Well, the hard drive was your father.
Wow.
That's who put it back there. And it was someplace else.
But he was alive at the time.
No. This is he's related to your father then, because I see a man that says father.
Huh.
So maybe it's his father. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That would be one of the only times he was terribly nice to me.
Yeah.
I hope he's trying to make up for some bad blood.
Yeah, because it was an older man.
Uh-huh.
So, and I heard father, but it must have been your father's father. He did that.
Okay.
But now Anthony had moved it.
Uh-huh.
It's just you guys kept looking in the same place and looked by it every time, but wow. It wasn't in the drawer.
Wow. No, it wasn't.
Because I saw it not being in the drawer. So that was one thing.
And what threw us was at that point in our life, there was nobody who had been associated with us at the previous apartment, like mm-hmm. housekeepers or babysitters, mm-hmm. who was coming to that new house. So even if someone we knew had found it, mm-hmm. those are the only people that, and even they didn't know, but that would have dreamt to put it back in that drawer. You know,
right.
That was the really crazy thing that felt so personal, like someone was saying, I know you, and I know exactly where this goes, and I've been watching you before you even got here.
Yeah. Because I saw this older man, so it, we're going to go with, and that it was your father's father, because mm-hmm. I saw him. The being in the kitchen was, okay, everybody in that house, the whole reason that you were there, Anthony was there, the kids were there, that Annie was there, anybody that walked in that house was there for the sole purpose of making them believers.
Oh, wow.
So anybody that was drawn to it, because we talked about before, you had had other paranormal experiences mm-hmm. earlier than this that you chose to ignore. And when it's time for you to be awakened to something, oh, they're going to get your attention. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that woman, the nanny slash dog walker, it was her time to be awakened also. So that house, in and of itself, was giving everyone an opportunity to awaken.
Well, that's interesting, because that same person had some of the more intense experiences in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them were threatening. They were just, we're here, hello.
That's right.
So one day, this is when we were actually filming the film, there was a lot of, there were a lot of people coming and going in the house and equipment being brought in. She was walking through the foyer which ran parallel to our living room. And there are two doors at either end that, you know, went into the living room. She passes the first door and she senses that there's a guy in there. And it's almost like they're walking in sync with each other. So when she gets to the second door, which is the big pocket doors, you know, it's a big wide opening. And she looks over and she sees a man, an older man in a black suit, looks like a person, doesn't look like a ghost, looks like a person who's walking, right, you know, where she is, but in the next room, and watches him walk right through the wall.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think I know who that was, too.
And that guy was described, I want to hear in a second, but I think maybe that same guy was seen by multiple people, but another one was my husband. So at one point, I was a foster kid, so my foster dad was visiting, and Anthony, my husband, was had just walked past the staircase and came into me in the kitchen, and he said, "Why is your dad going upstairs?" And I said, "My dad's not upstairs. He's like out back in the yard with the kids." He said, "No, I just saw him. I just saw him. He was like on the upper landing. He was going up the stairs." And then when we talked about it, we realized maybe it was this same mm-hmm. guy that he had seen. So talk to us.
Well, I saw two different people, so I'm not sure at which time.
And maybe it was two different people. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw two different ones. One was the older version and then the younger version.
Mm.
So the one with the nanny mm-hmm. was the older version, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying old, but older.
No, that is how she described him.
Yeah.
I think she said that he had gray hair. And
yeah. He's the older one. And then Anthony was the one that saw the other one, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a younger version of the older man. So there was, and they used to live in the house.
Is it the original owner
yes.
of the home? Okay.
Yeah. Built the house.
Yep.
Everything.
That's him. Wow.
Yeah. He will probably be in that house forever.
Wow.
He loved that house. It was a control thing. He just loved it. So he's not going to go anywhere. I don't care who's in there.
Okay. And another repetitive thing. Where are we at? Where are we?
30 seconds.
Oh, no. I'm giving you the cliffhanger to come and join us next week then. So there was a door. We're going to talk about the door.
I need a sound effect. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Please tune in next week. Primrose Lane Movie on Facebook. Like us. Love us. We're coming to you in theaters in 2016.